In the bygone days of our galaxy, there once existed a time of relative peace and stability across the cosmos, where one species had risen to a level of such supremacy that they could harness the powers of the stars themselves. This group would be none other than the enigmatic Eldari, who in their heyday had truly mastered not only the esoteric sciences with their strange technologies, but had also become patrons of the most stunning and captivating of the arts. Their creative interest, however, soon propelled them onto their most decadent path of destruction. For several millennia, their proclivities slowly shifted towards seeking nothing but overindulgence and hedonistic ecstasy at the cost of all else. Being an incredibly psychically sensitive species, these actions were reflected in the crashing hellscape of the warp, where they manifested as the first stirs of the chaos god Slaanesh, who burst forth into unlife during the 30th millennium, spelling the ultimate end of the ancient Eldari Empire. But all hope was not lost. Whilst, yes, many died amidst the chaos, there were millions who foresaw the moral collapse of their kin and chose to instead flee to the great floating void ships known as the Craft Worlds. Here they have cultivated a new way of life, free from the temptations of indulgence and with a strict societal order which dictates one's position within their fleeting remnants of a once great civilization. With this in mind, today we are to explore the path system of the Eldari, which utterly controls every aspect of one's life, all to ensure that they never again risk delving into the forbidden arts which damned their species. I shall first provide an overview of these frameworks, before showing how it snugly fits within their larger society. Then I will go over each of the known paths, with a particular focus on the paths of the warrior, of the seer, and of the outcast. The Eldari path, also sometimes referred to as the path of the Asuriani, or as the Aelethra to the Eldar themselves, first found its origins in the fleeting days of the ancient empire, where some of the more chaste of individuals were in the process of rejecting the sickening habits of the pleasure cultists. At this stage, however, it remained as simple abstinence, and it would not be until the Great Exodus that this system gained its true form. Fleeing to the craft worlds, the surviving Eldari had witnessed horror to such a scale that they knew a great change would be necessary in order to prevent any chances of their species once again falling into the depraved depths which had so cataclysmically damned them. All had heard the birth cry of Slaanesh reverberate across the galaxy and the collective trauma of sensing the untold billions of their kin being devoured became the impetus for a great societal shift to occur. Furthermore, the ever-gnawing hunger of the Prince of Pleasure was still all too real, and the Eldari knew that this twisted god would never cease in its hunt for their very souls. As such, those who had survived forged the concept of the paths. In order to free themselves from even the slightest possibility of falling back into their old ways, the Eldari would dedicate every aspect of their lives towards the adherence and reverence of a specific discipline, which were each formulated in such a way that they would provide a great benefit to the rest of their society. A key point is that the Eldari will not be born into one of these paths, and as they grow older, they may choose which one they wish to follow, offering them the chance to forge some kind of identity within the strict system. Once within a path, however, they will be expected to dedicate their entire essence and being towards its teachings. Every aspect of their life will be dictated by the path which they have ascribed to, and they will be expected to remain within it until they have completely mastered all that it has to offer. This is because, as you may remember, that the path system, in addition to providing purpose to the survivors, was also formulated to provide a great benefit to the rest of Eldari society. No path is seen as being less or more valuable than another, since they are all necessary for the furtherment and betterment of their species. Some of you may already be familiar with the paths of the warrior or of the outcast. However, there are dozens available for the Eldari to delve into, and all of which will offer a complete framework with which to base your life upon. They are each incredibly distinct and varied from one another, and whilst they may contain some similarities, ultimately they are completely unique life paths which will define an Eldari throughout their entire existence. We shall go into the various specificities of each path soon, but just as a brief example, let us consider what is to be perhaps the most commonly taken path, and this would be of the artisan. Given the truly gargantuan size of their void homes, it is no wonder that the Eldari have a great need for skilled craftsmen and women who will shape the vast wraithbone hulls into new forms, all to best suit the needs of their people. Conversely, however, if we look upon the path of the seer, we will see what is perhaps the rarest of paths to walk, since it inherently offers up a most dangerous and precarious existence, poised between our own realm of reality and of the warp itself. Even though the Eldari are a highly psychically sensitive species, to walk as a seer still requires an exceptional grasp of their own psionic ability, and unfortunately, not all will be able to reach a level of prowess within this field. An important point to note here is that once one has embarked upon their path and become a master within it, then they will be expected to choose another and begin the process anew. They will not abandon the teachings and experiences learnt from the past, but instead they will simply add these new practices into their ever-expanding skill set. In this sense, as the Eldari grow older, they will build up a vast repertoire of knowledge over several distinct specialities, and their lives will be ever more enriched for doing so. Being a species comprised of the survivors of a great calamity amidst a galaxy as hostile and treacherous as ours, it is no wonder that the Eldari have focused a great deal of their resources towards the art of war. There are many within the craft worlds who believe that they can bring about a revival of their ancient empire through the flames of conflict, and it will be these individuals who fall into the sacred path of the warrior. For the Eldar, dedicating your life to becoming a warrior takes a rather different form to the lesser species of the galaxy. Since their population has dwindled so greatly, and that the cost of replenishing their number is so high, their armies are formed around the idea of utilizing highly specialized squads, which have been honed and trained to the point of perfection in one specific form of war. These units will each have an explicit role to play upon a battlefield, and the symphony which is brought together from combining these unique units allows their autarchs to utterly devastate any foe who would be foolish enough to stand against the Eldari. The specialized units are referred to as the various aspect warriors of a craft world, and as I stated, they will each have a distinct role to play amidst a coming battle. There are numerous aspects to cover, with some being unique to their own craft world. However, they shall be the topic for a future sermon, and for now we will learn more of the warrior path itself. The warrior path is not a simple one to tread. For once one decides to walk down it, they must choose one of the warrior shrines to pursue. And from that point on, they will be somewhat locked into their chosen specialization. Each one of the various shrines was founded to represent a specific aspect of Cain, the bloody-handed god of war, and they still persist to this day in order to best preserve and exemplify his magnificent war path. Each craft world will hold one shrine for the various warrior aspects upon it at all times, for the various specializations are seen as being equally vital in forming an effective fighting force. An ideal Eldari army would theoretically consist of several deployments of each warrior aspect, since, as a combined entity, they could bring about the true fury of Kane to their enemies. With that being said, the various circumstances of reality are often rather prohibitive to what is possible, and as such, each force will usually be made up of a unique deployment, which has been formulated based on the specific weaknesses of their enemies, as well as from the available manpower of the craft world. Any Eldari can pursue the path of the warrior, regardless of their status or position in life. For once the call to war claims your heart, then it simply must be answered with impassioned fury. There are various reasons as to why one may decide to walk this path. Perhaps they feel that the current state of the galaxy is simply too dire, and that they have become swelled with a compulsion to protect their kin from its various dangers. Others may see the stagnant, preservative stance of the Eldari as being a pathetic shadow of their former selves, and they will wish to restore the greatness of their old empire through the flames of war. Alternatively, some may find their hearts straying towards darker, more violent tendencies, and in these cases, only the guidance and support of a warrior shrine will be able to temper their newfound fire. This darker side to the Eldari is a key part of the warrior path. As one becomes more experienced and more honed to their specific warrior aspect, their souls become somewhat melded with the aspect shrine, to the point where they may be seen as pure warriors over anything else. This state of being is referred to as their war mask. And once they have donned their armor and shifted their perception into that of a warrior, then they fight as the true aspects of Kayla Mensha Kane, and they will reap a bloody toll on the enemies of the Eldari. With that being said, an aspect warrior can always remove their mask and return to Eldari society once the need for war has abated. They do not live within their shrines, and instead, they simply live as citizens of their craft world, ever ready to protect and serve their kin should it be required of them. As I have previously stated, being on a path will keep the Eldari focused and dedicated towards achieving something tangible, primarily as a method of staving off the temptations of flesh which previously brought ruin to their kin. All Eldari fear the clutching grasp of Slaanesh, and so they will wholeheartedly take up a life of discipline and rigorous self-control if it means that they can be free from the Dark Prince. With all this being said, however, there is some sense of danger to be found within each of the paths. The Eldari psyche has an immense capacity for emotion, meaning that they can experience both pleasures and pains to a far greater extent than many of the lesser species of the galaxy. Now, whilst the paths may be intended towards reducing one's own emotional reactions towards their life, in some rare circumstances, it can actually have the opposite effect. There are various features and topics within each of the paths which the Eldari will see as being traps, which can ensnare an individual within a net of utter obsession. Their minds will become completely fixated upon these points, leading to such a manic fascination that it will begin to rapidly overshadow all else within their life, essentially trapping them within this path forevermore. At this point, the individual will not be able to pursue anything else which may be offered to them, and to some extent, their lives will be over, for they have become utterly lost upon the path. This is a terrifying possibility for the Asuriani, since they constantly aspire towards an existence where they are somewhat free from their own emotional capacity. And yet this fate is an ever-present danger to them. Once lost, you will be committed to that path until your death, and some may even progress to the point where they lose all sense of their old self, leaving their very name to be discarded to time. The best example of this fate would be of those who become lost on the path of the warrior, and they would be known as the Exarchs. These would be the individuals who have fallen so deeply into the chaotic swirls of war that they can no longer distinguish themselves from the warrior spirit they embody, and all they will seek from that point on will be conflict. The Exarchs will then stand as the high priests of Cain, and it will fall to them to act as the keepers of the great Aspect shrines, which will become their new homes. From this point, they will no longer co-mingle with the rest of the craft-worlders and will instead only leave their shrines in times of war. Whilst within their temple homes, they will tend to the great armories, ensuring that each warrior has the appropriate equipment for when the call to battle inevitably comes. Their days will be spent as something of a priest, where they will be found reciting the ancient songs and hymns of their shrine, or by adorning the various warriors with great runes of blood on the eve of battle. Their equipment will be rather different from that of their fellow Aspect warriors, in that it will be far more ornate and intricately designed, to the point where it appears as more of a relic than anything else. In addition, their suit will be adorned with the various soul stones of the previous Exarchs from their shrine, and their own spirit will commingle with those departed souls, with their combined psychic might providing a great boon to the wearer. As a final point, the Exarch will abandon their own name, replacing it with the one associated with the armor they wear, and in this sense, we can see them as being reborn as something of a pure warrior, free from the constraints of their old life, leaving them to stand as the true embodiment of their path. An interesting expansion of this idea would be found in the essence of the Phoenix Lords. These are the ancient figures who first deciphered the ways of war from Cain, before teaching his methods on to the rest of their species. It was by their hand that the various Aspect shrines were constructed, and they have been venerated by the Eldari for this colossal effort. In a similar manner to the Exarchs, the Phoenix Lords can be seen as quasi-immortal beings. When one dies in battle, then another Exarch will be chosen to don their armor, resulting in their soul melding with the ancient essence of the Phoenix Lord, and they will take up their new identity as the head of this warrior aspect. It does not matter how many times a lord has died or been reborn, for their keen mind will endure the change, and the ancient personality of this reverential figure will come forth to overtake and subsume the chosen Exarch. These figures will not live amidst their kin upon the craft worlds, and instead they will wander the galaxy, moving from place to place on their eternal path of war. Widely considered to be the single most dangerous and challenging path to master would be that of the Seer. Sometimes referred to as the path of the witch, this is the route that the Eldari will take should they wish to become unmatched practitioners in their psychic arts. Due to the sheer volume of knowledge to be gained regarding this route, it is the one which will take the longest amount of time to adopt, meaning that many will spend their entire lives delving into the sacred arcana of the Eldari. In addition, whilst all will be psychically sensitive, it is only the most innately skilled and psionically connected of individuals who will be able to truly master the teachings of the Seer. Because of this, it is rather rare for even the oldest of Eldari to choose to walk this path, since it is inherently prohibitive in who may be gifted enough to become proficient in. Within the path of the Seer, there are several complex specialties which one can follow, with each being related to a different application of psionics within the craft worlds. For example, A bone singer will be an artisan who has walked the path of the seer and who will use their newly tuned psychic skills to manipulate and shape great hulks of wraithbone into a new form, more suited to the needs of the Eldari. Similarly, a warlock will have previously walked the path of the warrior, but who has now decided to foster their latent psychic abilities into becoming a tool of war? These individuals will eventually find their place at the head of the Eldari battle forces, where they will lead their armies from the front, bringing blazing bolts of arcane lightning down to obliterate any foolish upstarts who would dare to stand against the Asuriani. Other specialities would include the spirit seers, who will have become masters in the handling and maintenance of the spirit stones of a craft world. These precious stones are relics of the old Eldari civilization, which were formulated as a method for preserving one's soul from the grasping reaches of Slaanesh. When an Eldari dies, their soul will be captured and contained by the Spirit Stone, and this can then be recovered and integrated within the great infinity circuits of a craft world, ensuring that their departed essence will be forever safe from the Neverborn. The Spirit Seers will be ultimately responsible for tending to these stones, and if the need is dire enough, then they may select a departed warrior to be placed into a wraith construct, where their potent essence will be permitted to once again walk and bring fury to a battlefield. This act of resurrecting the dead has led some to consider them as foul, necromantic figures who simply desecrate the memories of the departed. However, the Spirit Seers still play a vital role within a craft world, and most will tolerate their strange art in situations of grim necessity. As I have stated, the path of the seer is perhaps the longest and most all-encompassing of the various paths, and as such, it is not uncommon for individuals to become lost within its teachings, and these Eldari will eventually become the great Farseers. One may become lost because they are too innately tuned to the writhing currents of the warp, or they may have simply delved into its secrets too quickly. But regardless of the reason, their lives will now be utterly dedicated towards uncovering the secrets of the Immaterium. Their psychic might becomes truly exemplary, even by Eldari standards, with their shrouded talents and powers being able to bring entire armies low with but the utterance of a single phrase. Their destructive abilities, however, are not why they are most feared. Across the galaxy, there are none who can hold a candle to the predictive and mystical skills of a Farseer. Their masterful abilities of divination and premonition means that these ancient seers will most often be at the head of a craft world, where they will steer the course of their people away from any potential danger or towards new strands of fate which will be most beneficial to them. The vast majority of their time will be spent in isolation, where they will cast strange esoteric runes of prognostication into their great wraithbone temples, and it is through their interpretation of the prophetic glowing and dancing symbols that they may gain some insight as to the future of the galaxy. To be lost within the path of the seer will provide a clear-cut fate to the Eldari, as they are destined to eventually become what is known as a crystal seer. As one grows older, their minds will become more and more tuned to the humming song of the infinity circuit, and the call of their ancestors will be too great to ignore. More and more of their days will be spent in a meditative trance, where the Farseer will commune and commingle with the various spirits who reside within the great wraithbone core of the craft world. Eventually, however, their bodies will begin to slow, becoming almost dormant, and at this stage, the infinity circuit itself will grow and expand to consume the body of the Farseer, turning them into a crystalline figure forever locked to the craft world. Here, Their spirit will have been shed from their body to become intertwined with the departed souls of their ancestors. And though their corporeal vessel may be considered as deceased, their vibrant spirit will live on. With these paths laid out, you must now understand that this societal structure is rather strict and rigid, with there being little room for maneuverability or freedom to those who seek something different. As such, many Eldari will find this system to be simply unbearable, and the restrictive paths will be seen as something which exists purely to prohibit them from living their lives in a more natural and flexible way. These individuals will therefore forgo the Asuryani lifestyle altogether, choosing instead to leave their craft worlds, where they will become an outcast. They will have decided to adopt a life which permits them to act with their own freedom and individuality in mind, and this may lead them to any corner of the galaxy, where they may carve out their own destiny within the stars. The actual content of their new journey can take many different forms, and it will differ depending on the wishes and whims of each outcast. For example, many will simply wander the galaxy, where they may visit the various worlds and outposts of each species, investigating the different forms of life which have sprung up and populated the vast expanse of space. Alternatively, an outcast may spend their time upon an exodite world, where they will seek to reconnect with an older, more humble way of life. And this can often lead to that Eldari settling down permanently with their newfound families. Rather commonly, the more fiery and adventurous of outcasts may decide to join in with one of the various corsair bands of the galaxy. These are the quasi-pirate groups who roam the stars, raiding and plundering the trade routes of lesser species, where they will gather up a prodigious bounty of loot, which will be sold or traded on to the highest bidder. Whilst their lives will almost certainly be more fulfilled from following in their own interests, there is a great deal of innate danger to be found as an outcast. Life upon a craft world is relatively safe. However, once an Eldari chooses to leave and roam the wider galaxy, then their vibrant souls gleam ever so brightly against the blackness of space, making them vulnerable to the predation of ravenous demons. Those foul denizens of the warp would readily snatch up an isolated Eldari, for their blazing psychic essence is a truly delectable treat to the Neverborn, and it is one which cannot be ignored. If one does leave to become an outcast, it is not to be seen as a permanent departure from the Asuryani lifestyle. Those upon the craft worlds will always embrace and welcome back the wayward travelers should they seek to return, and in many cases, the young, rebellious Eldari will in fact decide that after decades of freedom, that a life amongst their old families is where they always truly belonged. Their newfound experiences and stories will always be seen as a beneficial addition to the craft world, and they will be permitted and encouraged to rejoin with a traditional path and to take up their arms in the support and defense of their kin. With that being said, many Eldari do not return from their lonesome voyages. As I have stated, the galaxy is a treacherous place for an outcast, and it is only the most capable and skilled who have found a viable route to surviving the various horrors which lurk out in the darkness of space. Rather sadly, some who choose to leave the craft worlds will end up succumbing to their more primal and sadistic emotions, which can often lead them to the dark city of Komorar, where they will seek a new life as a Drukhari raider. Nevertheless, even if one has committed horrendous atrocities during their expedition, all will be forgiven by their kin should they come to their senses and return home to the craft worlds. There are some outcasted individuals whose own sense of wanderlust will prohibit them from ever being able to permanently settle down anywhere within the galaxy, and these Eldari will often choose to dedicate their lives as rangers. They will eternally travel the stars, responding to calls for aid from the various craft worlds or exodite settlements before silently slipping back into the webway on their journey to another far-off destination. Their lives may be seen as rather idyllic or enviable, and so it is not uncommon for young Eldari to idolize these pathfinders, with their dreams being filled with thoughts of abandoning all, simply to travel and roam the stars. These are just three of the most commonly encountered and well-known of paths which we know to exist within the Eldari craft worlds today. There are dozens, potentially even hundreds more, with some being unique to specific craft worlds, which are almost completely unknown to the librarians and scholars of the Imperium. We shall soon return to learn of some of the lesser known of paths. However, this shall now conclude today's sermon. Whilst to some the path system may seem to be incredibly rigid to the Eldari, it has allowed their species to preserve itself from their great fall, and it is doubtful that they would have endured to this day without it. You must remember that the Eldari are always free to depart and explore the galaxy as outcasts, but that they will always be embraced with the loving arms of their family should they decide to once more return to their old way of life. But regardless of the path which one chooses, it is the desire of the Eldari to become unmatched masters of their selected art form, and they will truly outshine the galaxy in whatever it is that they dedicate their lives towards.